one of the most purchased clubs, the Zero Torque Putters. It's also one of the most traded in clubs. We see a lot of players spending their money on things that they want to like the look of or that they want to be playing when maybe something else fits them a little bit better. Shafts, for a lot of our players, we find out doesn't maybe have as much of an impact as they might think, but it really impacts feel.
So my take is that this year, the GTS 2 is going to be the best driver.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
What's going on, Brady?
Hey.
Were you in the office before this?
Yep.
Oh, they didn't give you the day off to come on Member Guest?
Got a half day.
You got a half day? That's how it worked out. I was going to say, maybe should have figured something out to get you the full day off. I apologize for that. Could have scheduled it around like 12 o'clock or something.
Beautiful golf day, too.
Oh,
finally got some heat.
I know. Well, this is actually going to go out in 2 days, so everything we talk about is relevant. Because every now and again, I'll record, and it comes out 2 weeks later or something. But this is going to be right away. So coming off Memorial Day weekend, and all of a sudden it's 80 degrees and sunny.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I feel like we missed all of spring, where it was like 50 degrees and just blowing 30 miles an hour every single day. And then Memorial Day happened, and now it's just 80 and sunny, and now I'm ready to go play some golf.
Yeah, I know. I got the itch. I think I had about 13, 14 rounds in this time last year, and I think I have 3 so far this year.
Oh, no.
So I'm a little behind. I got to catch up.
That is behind. Where do you normally play around here?
I live over in St. Paul, so Inverwood is the main course I go to.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm in between there and Keller, so those are my top two. And then the office right by Braemar. So between those three, make a good rotation.
We were just talking about Keller the other day, and all the history behind Keller. Yeah. Like, I completely forget about all the history that Keller Golf Course has.
Yeah,
it's so cool. Still great.
Every time you go into that clubhouse, just looking at those old photos, it's so sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, introduce yourself to our audience here, and tell people what you do, because, like, people don't see you in the stores, right? Yeah. Like, you're online guy, so it'd be great to get a little background.
Yeah. I'm Brady Falk. I have been with Second Swing now for just over a year. Managing the online fitting team. So we're doing virtual fittings, phone fittings. If anybody calls and asks questions about their clubs or spec questions or anything, our team is there. So that's what we're working on. And then our new initiative is the virtual tour vans. So that's kind of the new project that we're on at Second Swing. And that's been what I've been working on for the last year or so. And it's been really fun.
Yeah, how much has that changed? I mean, I imagine, well, actually, when did it start? Let me start there. When did you guys start, like, really doing the virtual stuff, and when did it really start picking up?
Yeah, Second Swing's been doing phone fittings for a long time, and then we're kind of just trying to ramp that up and take our, we pride ourselves on our premium tour level fittings at Second Swing, so we're trying to bring that to the rest of the country that isn't near one of our stores.
Yeah.
So since fall of 25, we kind of started to kick it off and started to ramp it up, and then the beginning of 26 now is when we really got into it, and we're kind of full foot on the gas.
And you guys are staying, do you stay pretty busy? Like, are you guys getting, like, a bunch of inquiries, like, daily? Like, what is the volume of, like you said, the team's actually kind of big. I was surprised to hear you guys moved out of the actual headquarters. You got a satellite office now, a bunch of people in there. So you guys are obviously busy doing this. It's pretty popular.
Yeah, there's 9 fitters on our fitting team.
Oh, wow. It's kind of like its own store.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's what kind of we call it ourselves, the online store. And we're doing, so far this year, our highest fittings per week was over 200. So
oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, we're doing about 150 a week. So we're very busy.
And how do people, is it like the commercials that people see, on Saturdays and Sundays when they're watching, and they just, like, give a call and are like, hey, I'm not near you guys, but I want to do something?
A lot of that. Yeah. A lot of that. with our wide selection of used inventory, if you search any old club, Second Swing's usually towards the top.
Yeah.
And then our website has our phone number all over it. So try to get people to call us that way and kind of realize that we have a full fitting team of virtual online fitters that are there to fit on the phone or on sure. a video call. So it's kind of, you know, it's a something that not a lot of other places offer.
Yeah.
So we kind of think it's something that it's important to us, and we're able to reach a ton of golfers that way. So we like to push that and let people know that we're out there.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much background you have about me and how frequently I go to the Minnetonka location, but I have to ask, like, the glaring questions, which is like, I mean, how do you fit somebody without, you know, being with them in person and seeing stuff like on a launch monitor, right? Like, how does that process change for you? I imagine there's probably some pros and cons to it as well. Like, you know, how do you actually go about it, and what is your guys's process? Like, yeah. Do you do some different things that maybe they don't have to do in store that, you know, you guys, it's like part of your process, like finding wrist to floor and all that yeah. type of stuff? Or like, what is it?
Yeah, there's a lot of tools that we use, and it's very different than an in-person experience. But one thing that it is very similar to, if you go into a fitting, you talk to your fitter before you start hitting balls or while you're warming up, that pre-fitting interview where the fitter's collecting all the information, kind of understanding what your tendencies are, what your goals are for the fitting, and then we take that to the next level and just really dive into all those details and get as much information as we can from the golfer. One thing that we've kind of found and is kind of nice about those phone fittings and virtual fittings is that if you're not hitting balls in front of us, we can gather information from that golfer's perspective.
Yeah.
Or maybe on the screen if they're missing a little bit to the right, but in their head they're missing further right, and we can fix that a little bit easier because it's their perception of how they're hitting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting way to think about it, where
yeah.
you know, you're not relying on the data or their swing from that specific day. You're relying on the data that they tell you and their goal. So our fitting can only be as good as the information that they give us. So, you know, if they say that they hit the ball 300, but they're only at 260, it's kind of going to change the results of the fitting.
Yeah.
But it's up to the golfer to, you know, give us whatever information they can, and we can go from there.
Yeah, because I've had those days where, like, you go in and, you know, like anything, and I'm lucky enough to live 10 minutes away and can go in more frequently and yeah. know a bunch of people there. But, like, for people who can't, or maybe, like, schedule around, you know, their yearly fitting or whatever it is, you like never know like the swing you're going to bring that day. Like maybe you didn't sleep well, or you kind of like, you know, tweaked your back or something, and like you're not swinging good, or vice versa. You're swinging really good one day, and you're like, oh my gosh, like I don't even know. Like I don't have my miss today. Like I can't prove to you that I always hit it off the heel. And like yeah. today I'm just hitting it off the toe. And I've literally gone in and had a fitting where I just go like Mark or Cam or Aaron or whoever, like, dude, I can't do this. Like, either it's really bad, or like I'm swinging it like really good today, and like this isn't indicative of like what's actually going on. I just don't think we're gonna be able to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I should just call you, I guess, yeah. is how yeah. how it works.
Yeah. Well, and that's our first level of fitting, is that it's about a 15-20 minute phone call where we can kind of dive through questions and talk about the game, and then we have different levels too. So we have fit packs that we send out. So those are, in some of them, depending on what the golfer's goals are, what they need, we have the shaft optimizers that we'll send out. If it's a shaft question, we're trying to dial in shafts. We have wedge fit packs that we'll send out with different lofts and grinds and bounces.
Sweet.
And then we have our big fit pack, which is, we kind of have a 15-minute consult call, determine a few heads and a few shafts that are going to be good for you. Send out those heads, a few shafts, and then a launch monitor. So we're doing a 60-minute virtual or video call from the player's range or their home sim, and that's kind of the new one that we've been focusing on in 26 is that we're actually sending the launch monitor so we can do a fitting from someone's
wow.
range, which is awesome because not a lot of places you can do a fitting and see the ball flight.
Yeah,
maybe, you know, range days or demo days when a manufacturer comes to the course, but we have every brand, and we can do it from the course. And then my favorite is the wedge fittings, because you hardly anywhere can go and test grinds and bounces.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Turf. Yeah. So, you know, take me on your phone. We send tripods and just set it up by your bunker. We're hitting bunker shots. We're hitting out of the rough, out of the fairway, and doing on-course fittings, which has
wow.
been really fun.
So then what are the packs? Because I did, I can't remember, Forward Golf, have you seen their stuff?
Yeah.
Forward. So like they, you know, their pack, it almost looks like a gun case. Yeah. And they send like all the different, I mean, they're all actual clubs, right? And then with different loft, slice, shaft types, but they don't tell you any of it. So are you guys sending something similar and all the clubs are pre-built? Or are you sending them where like you're putting the head and then you change the loft and lie and tweak it that way, like an actual fitting?
Yeah, a little bit of both. So we have the heads and the shaft options in the pack. I typically build it to what I think is going to be best for the player, and then we can tweak it from there. But that's what the consult call is for, kind of determining what direction the fitting is going to go, and then I can set the fit pack up that way. So it's tailored per the golfer and what they're going to need for their specific session. So it really does vary, but if their adjustments need to be made and, you know, can move the weight in that driver head or change the shaft out of that iron is something that the golfer would have to do, something that I would do if I was in the fitting bay with them, but just that we have to talk through and that they can do on the range there.
So then hypothetically, like let's say Brady, I only want a bunch of used clubs. Like, do you have the power, like from, you know, the officer to send like, you know, TaylorMade M2 like head with a shaft and then like compare it to the new, you know, QI line or like, you can do any of that. You just like go grab a used one and be like, yeah, here you go.
That might come in the future. Right now in our fit pack inventory, we have the same fitting, cart as the in store. So we have all the new stuff.
Got it.
We do have used phone fittings though. So those are, we talk through your goals, work through, your game, maybe set up a session where if you have a home sim or a access to a launch monitor, you can hit your own clubs and we get those numbers and all your data and move from there. We have a 60-day play guarantee, so if we find a used club that we think will be a good fit, you get that and then you get 2 months to try it out. So that's kind of what we lean on for used, is that we can fit you into it, we just can't fit you with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you kind of get the data back and you go, oh yeah, actually, like, yeah, you should just try this old head or whatever the case is.
Yeah. Which is really fun too, because the massive inventory that we have of used clubs, like pretty much anything you can think of, you can find it or something very, very close to it on the website.
Yeah. Or I mean, when I go into the store, I feel like you can go, if you really wanted to, you could like build a configuration. Yeah. Like you might have to do some crazy stuff, but like you hypothetically could if you wanted to. Have you seen any, has anything super crazy come back? Have you done any like wild fittings where like you fit somebody into just this, I don't know, set or something that you never thought?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, there's crazy stuff all the time. Like somebody might be playing a 120 gram shaft their whole life and that's what they're used to. And then we put that in the fit pack. But sometimes I like to throw in something kind of crazy that they've never tried before that might work. Then they, you know, fit them into a 100 gram shaft that is significantly lighter than they've ever tried. But now we get that peak height and the landing angle and the spin that we need, and something that maybe they didn't figure or try before. Also, we have all the exotic shafts too, so sometimes it's fun just to throw in an exotic shaft and kind of see how that works, whether it's TPT or just a Velocor or a graphite design. But I mean, yeah, there's crazy stuff, and especially with the wedge fittings and the putter fittings that we're able to do, we got some really cool technology that we use during those virtuals to pretty much get anything dialed in. But
yeah, how do you do the putting ones? Is that mostly just video, or how do you, because like for me that's always the hardest, you know, like going in and being able to have access to like a Quintec machine, right? Like that's hard to replicate like anywhere, you know, like how do you, is the putting stuff more, you know, like video and watching somebody stroke and trying to figure it out that way, or how do you do it?
Yeah, that's most of it. Since we don't have access to data like a Quintec from somebody's home or wherever it may be.
People just have Quintec machines lying around, right?
Yeah. We got some really cool software that we work with to kind of flow through. So all of our fitters are following the same flow and then making recommendations based off that. So a lot of player tendencies, what their stroke looks like, their arc type, their like how quick their stroke is. Kind of walking through whatever that player needs, and it's case by case, and that's what's kind of fun about getting in there. And you don't know where that player is. They might be on the range, they might be in their basement, they might be someplace crazy that is like fit a guy last week that was on, looked like on top of this mountain in California with the sickest view ever on top of the range. So Yeah, it's always interesting.
What do you it would be interesting to get your take on, like, you know, so I think generally speaking, just, and this might be a little deep rabbit hole, but like, we're all biased, like humans are biased, right? Like, yeah. You walk into a store and like you see everybody trying the new GTS3 or whatever, and like naturally as a fitter or consumer, you're like, I want to try that. And like, you know, you look at it and it works and all this stuff, but like, you guys have a different perspective where like, you're just talking to someone on the phone or seeing something on video, and it almost feels like it's a little bit more, it's kind of like when you talk with AI a little bit, like it's just, like you said, it's data in, data out, mm-hmm. data in, data out. And so I'd be curious, like, to hear what some of the like best performing like clubs or things that you fit most people into.
Yeah.
Because I think it is probably going to be different than what you would see in store compared to just, you know, natural human bias or like tendency that, you know, people get in different face-to-face interactions. Like, yeah. what are you seeing this year? I'll start with like driver, because I do think the GTS is going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
But like, what are you seeing most people kind of, they send stuff in and you're like, yeah, this, you know, most of these people are perfect for this driver and it's working really well.
Yeah. The GT still has some of the fastest ball speeds. So that's something that we're, if their goal is distance, or it's always nice to add a little distance. The GT is still, even out of all the 26 drivers, the 2026 drivers, is still giving some of the fastest ball speeds.
The 2-year-old version, yeah. Like GT 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's,
I have a GT 2. So,
yeah. And I have the 3. And that's been kind of surprising that's still winning out on the ball speed. But forgiveness wise, ping is always.
Yeah.
Pretty easy fit, because somebody's looking for more consistency. The 440K has been a nice go-to for that, where off-center strikes, you're getting pretty darn consistent results.
Really? So I have a take, and you get to tell me if I'm wrong. I don't even think I've told this to a fitter yet. But so my take is that this year, the GTS2 is going to be the best driver, and here's my theory behind it. Like, bear with me, and then you get to tell me if this is right or wrong. So I play the GT2 right now, and I agree, like, I don't even think it's agree or disagree, like the Titleist GT drivers like are the fastest among all the drivers. They just are. And so I like to play super forgiving drivers. Like, I played the 430 10K for 2 years. It was like one of my favorite drivers ever. My one knock on it was that I definitely gave up some distance, yeah. That, and as I tried to get better, I felt like, okay, I can play a less forgiving driver and hit a little further, and that was a constant battle. And so I went to the GT2 because it's, you know, forgiving, but went a little bit further, but it only has the back weight, yep. Right? And so, like, you know, to get that early forgiveness, and same with like the 10K, if you put a really heavy, like, I think I had a 30 gram weight in the back of the 10K, and it was super forgiving. But now with the GT2, you can put it in the front and the back.
Yeah.
And so my theory is that now the adjustability of being able to switch the weights around to like have the forgiveness of a GT, you know, 2 kind of profile, but then be able to switch a little more weight into the front to bring spin down.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a cheat code. Am I on to something or on something?
Yeah, playing around with it, that's definitely onto something.
I'm on to something. Yeah. I'm not on something. I could on be on something too, but I think I'm closer to on to something with more adjustability being, yeah. Able to have in the front.
100%.
Right? Like, and same with probably the GT3 as well.
That's what I was going to say. So yeah, you can make the GT2 closer to a GT3, and you can make the GT3 put that more weight in the back.
Yeah.
With the, it's not a movable weight from the front to the back, but you can get a heavier weight in the back.
Yeah.
And make it more of a GT2 with that mass more back in the head. So if you like really like the look of a GT3 style club head, and you can pump up that forgiveness a little bit with that back weight. So yeah, but I think the GTS2 is going to be a monster. And something that I've been paying attention to is the guys on tour, that they all used to play that lower spin, the player, mm-hmm. head shape,
the three or four, three, right?
Yeah. And now, like, I think it's closer to 60% GTS3, 40% GTS2 now, or, you know, something close, sure. to that split. So more and more tour pros are moving to that direction. So, I mean, that just,
why wouldn't you, right?
Exactly.
Like, if it gives you a little bit more forgiveness, and then you can tweak it to be faster, like hit your, you know, windows or whatever those guys are trying to do, like that makes sense to me. And I just go, I think that driver is going to be like crazy good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be an easy fit.
I'm waiting for mine. When do they come out?
June 11th, my birthday. So I think I know what my birthday present is going to be.
We still got like 2 weeks.
Yep. Yep.
Gosh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a little sooner than that, but that's all right.
Yeah.
What about putters? Is everybody just low torque now or zero torque?
And Spider.
And Spider. Yeah. Well, yeah, the Spider's been just on an unbelievable tear the last year.
Yeah, Spider's incredible. So, I mean, we fit a lot of players into Spiders. Virtual fittings for putters are a little bit different, a little bit more challenging, but moving like from that conversation where what are your tendencies, what are your misdirections, we kind of have some tricks and some tools that we use to make sure you have the right length and the right lie angle, the right head shape, the right toe hang for your strokes type, and then just finding something that kind of adds a little bit of performance to what you were what you were playing previously. But the Spider is a great option for that.
But why is it so good? Yeah, do you have you've probably done hundreds of these fittings. Like, what is making it so good? Is it just the forgiveness and mallet styles and like the way that it looks? Because obviously there's other, you know, kind of mallet styles like similar to that of other brand, but like TaylorMade's just the best one.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't, it's kind of been around for a while too. It's not like the Spider, like it's been around for a long time, but now it's picking up.
Yeah. I have a 2014 or 2016 Spider.
It's 10 years old. Bit.
Yeah. When it still looks the same or very similar. I think the biggest reason is that face insert, it has really consistent speed across the face. There's also a lot of different alignment lines and configurations that you can get. So if if somebody needs to have more left bias, we'll put them in a longer sight line, or if they need more right bias, something with just a front dot, something that they feel comfortable with. I think that's another really big part about it. And then there's also so many head shapes within that Spider where you got the X and the V and the tour where they're all just a little bit different. And, you know, if somebody is probably going to like the look of one of them and just be able to make a little bit more confident stroke because they like the look, where if you go with another brand, sometimes the head shapes might not catch your eye. But I feel like with Spider, there's a wide variety of those shapes where you can at least find something that you are comfortable looking at.
Yeah, one of my partners from Windsong that I do a lot of events and stuff with, Jordan, coincidentally, same name, he just got the Zero Torque Scotty version. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
It actually looked really good.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a blend between, you know, Scotty's kind of Phantom typical look and then the Zero Torque Spider one, where it's kind of like that wide mallet and then like has the wings on the back.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like really sweet. I tried it like once with it. I did make it. I was like, dude,
you need one.
I was like, man, I need one of these. I'm trying to do less of that this year. But I saw that like they're doing that now too. So everybody's doing the Zero Torque stuff. Have you specifically seen more of a trend like in the online stuff with Zero Torque too? Or is it just, I don't know, like Spiders and everybody else are like, I mean, obviously Lab is up there too. Like, just talk a little bit about, you know, kind of the putter aspect here, because that's the one thing everybody changes so frequently. And I just love hearing from somebody who's seen hundreds and hundreds of fittings. Like, it's impossible to get somebody else's brain on this. Like, you guys see so much of it. So it's almost like you have a little data in your mind of like, you know, what people are getting and why.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're usually good for a player that is struggling with their putting and that like other things haven't worked. There's not really a specific stroke type that we have found that it's like really good for. So if somebody isn't fitting into like, you know, the old blade that they're playing, or they tried something like a Spider with a face balance and a little bit more mass and are still struggling, or, you know, whatever it may be, it's a different look and a different style. It's one of the most purchased clubs, the Zero Torque putters. It's also one of the most traded in clubs. So
yeah, I just imagine putters in general too, right? Putters and drivers are probably the two, but yeah, putters the most.
It's really catching on. I think it really does work for a lot of players. It seems to work best for the players that are struggling with their putting and need to find something or a different feel. Because with that Zero Torque,
it is completely different, right?
Yeah. With that Zero Torque, there's so much. It's so much of a different feel because there's no torque, there's no weight out on the toe end of that putter or the you know, on either end of that shaft. It's all right in the center of the club. So, completely different feel. And like we've found that it's best for the players that are just kind of struggling and need something different.
I'm going to imagine the number's really low here, but how often, if at all, do you fit people into broomstick style putters?
If they request it.
Yeah, they got to request it.
They got to request it. Yeah. Or if they
like,
have,
hey, I've always putt with the broomstick. Like,
yeah,
we got to yeah. do that way.
Or if they've never tried it and want to try it, we can fit them into one.
Broom curious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If they have a back injury, something that they can't bend over, it'd be something that we'd recommend in those cases.
Good take.
Yeah. So I
never thought of it that way.
Few and far between, but it, you know, it's kind of similar to zero torque where it's a completely different style. If nothing else is working, yeah. it's something to try.
I went to it last year. I haven't gone back yet. I'll say yet because I do change a lot. But it's been almost a year now because I started July of last year, and it's helped me a lot, and I don't necessarily know why. I honestly think it was just something different.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've been a historically just very average putter. Like everybody, like, I get kind of, you know, hot for a streak because I find something, and then I forget whatever I found, and like when I went to the broom, it almost felt like I no longer had to use my hands. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of probably amateur struggles, like you start to get very handsy with the putter. And, you know, if one day like the kind of timing's working or your angles are working well, like putt kind of good, and other days you're not. And the hands were just out of it. Like it was just very, you know, swinging on a pendulum. Like I could just kind of focus on line and speed.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it was for me. I think the biggest struggle I've seen is like it's really hard to get a quote unquote custom fit broom putter. Like the manufacturers don't make a ton of them. If they do, they're only in like a, you know, one or two different like lengths.
Yeah.
And for me, like I'm 6'1" and I got really long arms. Like I need a lot taller broom. Like I can't even find one. Like I set up to mine and like it looks really small on me. It looks almost kind of weird. But I've enjoyed the broomstick.
Yeah.
It's been pretty good for me.
Yeah. Putting's fun. Cause there's so many different styles, so many different,
whole
takes
different game.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of it's personal preference too. So if something doesn't fit you, but you absolutely love the look and feel of it and you feel confident in it, like that's the biggest thing with putting.
Yeah. What about, shafts are an interesting one. So talk a little bit about the shafts. Cause I think this is probably for most amateurs, the most overlooked part of like what can actually make a really big difference in the swing. What are, I guess, some of the, let's start with driver shafts, because iron shafts kind of, you know, they fit like here. Driver shafts, like there's a lot wider range. Talk about like the driver shafts that you're putting people into right now.
Yeah, so a lot of it's going to be really weight dependent. That's kind of the thing that we lean into with these online fittings and the virtual calls is the weight that they're playing and what their ball flight's looking like with that weight. And then the beyond that, the shaft profile, the brand, the whether it's a red or a blue or a black is going to be mainly the feel. So kind of something that we tell a lot of our golfers is the club head is going to determine launch characteristics. The loft is going to be the next biggest thing that really affects that. And then the shaft is going to fine tune that, but the shaft is going to have the biggest impact on feel and then fine-tuning that ball flight. So shafts, for a lot of our players, we find out doesn't maybe have as much of an impact as they might think, but it really impacts feel. So how they feel that club head in the backswing and at the top of the backswing and at impact. So if they're looking for a little bit softer, a little bit firmer of a feel, that's definitely going to affect the direction that we go. But as long as you're in the right weight category, something that we've found is that it's feel based a lot more than performance based.
Interesting.
If you're in the right head and loft package.
I was talking to my buddy, Andrew, who's a, you know, pro. He played two events on tour and played for a while. And like we were talking going into this year about how it feels like a lot of what optimal setups are right now have to do with finding the right matchup, right? Like there's so many different matchups when you just take into consideration, like if you only looked at the Ventus line and let's just use a Titleist driver line. Like, so you have red, blue, and black Ventus, and then you have GTS 2, 3, and 4, right? Mm-hmm. Like it seems simple. Like those are three things. Like you put it all together and like those matchups and then all the different like weight stuff. I mean, there's got to be more than 100 different scenarios. And like when you find the right matchup, like it can be perfect. And then like you also throw in the ball that you're playing to match it up with. Like there's so many things to take into consideration. Finding that right matchup matters so much. Like my partner Jordan, I was talking about, he played Dentist Blue in his woods, like his five wood, seven wood. Mm-hmm. And Dentist Black in his driver. And like for the first, I don't know, month of the season, like he literally couldn't get off the tee. Like I was like, dude, you're striping your woods. Like what's in the woods that's not in the driver? And Dentist Blue to Dentist Black. And I was like, why don't you put a Ventus Blue in the driver? Dude, you put a Ventus Blue in the driver, like change the swing weights to make them consistent. We went out the other day and just
that's awesome.
Right down the middle. I was like, well, there you go. Like there's kind of the answer. And it was all it was, I mean, literally from going from not being able to get the driver in play to like hitting most of the fairways was like finding the matchup of the head and the shaft.
Yeah.
It's like same guy, same swing, same everything. Just like change the shaft and that was it. Just like so a little bit of feel.
Yeah. And like finding consistencies through the bag too, even if it's from woods to driver, even if it's from irons to woods to driver, something that flows nicely, that once you find, you know, the feel and the performance that you're looking for, trying to match that. And that's kind of something that we can lean on in our virtuals too, is like, well, what's your favorite club in the bag? And if that's your five wood with a certain shaft, well, let's try to replicate that in your driver.
You guys obviously, I imagine part of just the business of doing like these online fittings and stuff and the shipping and returning, like I can't imagine that side of it, the logistics side of it. Mm-hmm. But you probably see a lot of the returns or things that come back or like whatever. Where are most people, I don't want to say wasting money, but you know what I mean? Like either spending money or like focusing on stuff that just ends up like coming back and they end up doing, you know, something else. Like where are people wasting time trying to make something work when they shouldn't? For example, like a zero torque putter or I don't know, like a new driver when really all they needed was a shaft. Like where are most amateurs just throwing away time and money where they shouldn't?
Yeah, that's kind of tough. I feel like it's so different and that we see so much that it's hard to pinpoint that. I would say probably trying to play something that they think they should be playing when something that we see all the time, people always ask for P790s or they like really like the look of them, but it's more of a player that they have a really low launch and low spin, and like P790s are some of the lowest launch, lowest spin. So we see a lot of players spending their money on things that they want to like the look of, or that they want to be playing when maybe something else fits them a little bit better.
Yeah.
So that's probably my answer, is that you know, something that would be a little bit higher launching, higher spinning would suit them a heck of a lot better.
Yeah. Generally just wanting to try something cause it looks cool or it's trending when they just shouldn't even be in it in the first place.
Yeah. And then realizing that, you know, what they were playing before worked out a little bit better, or that if they would have got into something with a little bit newer technology that is a little bit more forgiving and can help them get that launch that they need, that would definitely better suit them than something that looks sleek. So,
yeah. Seeing all this stuff, like I want to talk a little bit about the, call it manufacturers and like release cycles.
Yeah.
Cause I fall into this trap of like wanting to try new stuff every single year. And usually in hindsight, you look back and be like, you know, man, those irons are like, that driver was really good. And like, it was probably the best one of this kind of like 5 year stretch, or maybe even like, you know, better part of a decade, depending on what it is. Mm-hmm. I think most of the major manufacturers are usually on like a 2 year cycle, or I mean, some of them, I guess, are doing stuff every single year. For you, like when you're fitting people and people are changing stuff out, what do you lead making changes that actually make a difference as opposed to just like making changes?
Yeah.
Right. Because, and I see the pros of this all the time. I mean, Wyndham Clark is like crazy. I mean, like I watch shout out Tej Talks. He's awesome. He like breaks down all the equipment stuff on Instagram.
Yep.
I think Wyndham has had 6 different driver configurations and 8 different putter configurations this year on tour. And like, we're just a little over halfway through the season.
Crazy.
Like that is crazy. And I get that they have access to all that stuff, so they can, it's probably a little bit easier, right, for them to be able to do it. And they're so good, but that still is like mind boggling to me. And so I'm just curious about like, you know, guys that change all the time, like you're seeing, you know, you talk to people about drivers really haven't gotten that much, quote unquote, better, like in terms of certain metrics, but like you probably see it. Where, why are manufacturers changing stuff all the time? Is it just to sell new clubs? And like when people are changing stuff, what are the actual material changes being made? And is it more equipment based or is it like matchup and swing and other stuff?
As long as you have modern, something that came out in the last few, 3 to 5 years, and it fits you, it was a good fit, you're probably not going to see a huge performance gain. The one thing that we like to really understand at the beginning of our fittings is what's the person's goal. So if they come to us and they're like, I'm kind of thinking about the whatever driver, the GT2 driver, it's like, okay, well, what's your goal? What do you want to change? What are you playing now? And what are you looking to achieve in that change? And then kind of understanding where they're at and what they're actually looking to change, where maybe the GT2 wasn't the best option for them, but there's another club that would be, or what they're playing is probably pretty darn good. We can just tweak the loft or maybe make that shaft change that they didn't need to upgrade to a different club. But understanding the goals and what they want to change in their shot shape or their trajectory, or you know, if they're missing the fairway or if they're missing the green left every time, like what's going on the course that you want to achieve, and then we'll address the best change from that point. But
yeah,
I think that's the biggest thing that we try to understand, like at the very beginning of our fittings, is where's this change idea coming from, and what they want to get done on the course.
Well, as we kind of wrap up, I have to know. I always ask people like, what's in their bag, like what you're gaming. Because I know you guys get to, you know, as employees of Second Swing, I believe, like maybe it's every year, I can't remember, but I know guys get to like either try new irons or get new irons or like whatever, try new stuff or maybe not even make changes. And I'm always intrigued to hear like the people that work, and especially it's cool for you guys that, you know, you're not married to a manufacturer, right? I've said it once on this podcast. I'll say it a million times. I love to see golfers when they're free agents to see like what a full bag looks like, because it's never one manufacturer. I mean, Wyndham's a great example. I saw right now he's got TaylorMade driver, TaylorMade 3-wood, and then he goes to a Ping 5-wood, and then he's got Titleist irons and wedges, and the new Ping putter.
I love that.
Yeah, like I just, and look, he just won, right? And I think he was a full Titleist forever, and he really struggled with the driver, like whatever reason, like, you know, the Titleist driver wasn't it. And I'm like, man, how much are these guys sacrificing? And I'm sure they're getting good equipment deals, but like, I can't believe that what they earn on the PGA Tour could potentially outweigh what they get with those manufacturing deals.
And I think Brooks has said that before, or one of those guys said that they play a mixed bag, is that they want to play the best clubs out there, and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
If, you know, the total winnings or the trophies that they can get playing a different bag with something that actually matches their performance.
In no way it beats whatever deal they've got. I just can't. Yeah. Anyways, so all to say, I always love talking to people like you that, like, you know, one, you understand equipment from every single aspect, and then like your bag, walking through it, like hearing kind of the why between what you know what you've got in your bag. Yeah. So I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I have the GT3 driver in the bag right now, hopefully soon to be the GTS3.
So you are going to go to the GTS.
Yeah.
And why? So tell people why. Like, I want to hear, like, are you just going straight into your current shaft that you have?
It is, yeah.
Straight that's what I'm doing, shaft. Too. I literally just, same shaft, just change the head.
Yeah. I found a lot of times, model to model, you know, in the same, or from one generation to the next, there's not a huge increase in ball speed. I saw that in the GTS3, and that's kind of caught my eye.
What'd it go from?
165-ish to 168-ish.
Sick, so you can move it.
Yeah, I mean, that's on a good strike.
Yeah, still, 168 ball speed, I mean, you're on 300.
Yeah, so found pretty easy gains with the GTS3, and I love the look of the GT3, and the GTS3, I think that I'm so glad that Titleist kept with their classic look.
Because yeah, I agree.
They got a winning combo there.
Yeah, I think it's the best looking driver, at least for my eye. It's so clean. It's so like minimalistic. Like it looks like a nice driver. Like some of them, you know, for example, the TaylorMade and the Callaways, like they look at them, they look big and it's kind of like a different shape going on. Like I just love the look of the Titleist, just clean driver. Yeah. That's how I feel about TaylorMade woods too. Like they just have a nice rounded and like good shape.
Yeah, for sure.
My eye.
Yeah. So that's, and then I got the Graphite Design 80 DI shaft in that. That's what I've been playing for the last few years.
Is that the black and red? Is that the Tiger shaft?
That's the orange one.
That's the orange one. Okay. Yeah. The orange and white one. Yeah. The Hideki shaft.
Yep.
Actually, I don't know. Does he still have it?
I think so.
Yeah. That's Hideki's. Yeah. That's sick.
And then in woods right now, I'm trying something different this year. I've never had like a super good gapping option at the top of my bag. So I got 3-wood, 5-wood, 4-hybrid.
Okay.
So I always did 3-wood, 3-hybrid, and I found out I never really used them enough on the course.
Sure.
I never had enough holes where I really needed to hit them. So I got the G440 3-wood and the 445-wood, but I just put a Titleist 915 5-wood.
Is that
the
one with the face? What's the new face? Like titanium face?
The 915, so it's the 2014 model of the Titleist.
Oh, it's the old one.
Yeah. I just put it in the bag because I had it sitting around. And I...
12-year-old club.
Yeah, I like the look of it. And I needed something that was getting me that like 235, 240 distance. So that's my 5-wood club.
Nice.
And then G440 4-hybrid.
Okay.
And then I got...
Those are great, by the way. Yeah. Those hybrids. Yeah. Those are nice.
They're easy. I never had something from the 4-iron to the 3-wood really that I ever really trusted. I had a 3-hybrid, but I didn't really like to play it. So I found that a little extra loft in the 4-hybrid makes it a little bit easier to hit. And then I gap it now to the 5-iron where I was going the 4-iron to
that's
the
what I'm trying to figure out right now. I'm stuck. I'd never hit my 4-iron like ever. But I still have it in the bag because I can't. I'm like, do I really need 4 head covers? Like, do I just put a 7-wood there? Like, but then that kind of launches too high. Like, usually if you're hitting 4-iron, you're kind of having to hit it a little lower for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want to go to a hybrid because, like, I launch it really high. I'm a high launch, high spin guy. So I'm dealing with the same thing of trying to figure out, like, what's my 220-yard club?
Yeah.
And I'm struggling there.
Yeah.
Got to figure it out.
Yeah. So that's my new 4. Hybrid, and then I got the Cobra King CB irons in the 4 and 5.
Ooh, I don't hear a lot of those.
5 and 6.
Okay,
And then 7 through pitching wedge is the MBs. So okay. I got that Cobra King. They're blackout.
Sick.
Love the look of them. I have had these. This is my third set of them. I've had them since 2015, 2016 ish. So I just like
who
the
plays
look of
those
them.
On tour. Does Ricky play those?
I don't think anybody does anymore.
Really?
I think he might play the chrome ones.
Does Homa play those? He's with Cobra, isn't he?
I think he has the 3DPs now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think anybody's playing them. But I just have always liked the look of them, and I like the feel of them. And once you get into those blades, they all perform very similarly. There's no tech in them at all.
What's your handicap?
Between a 1 and a 3.
Okay, yeah, so you're a good player. I was thinking about him like, this guy's got blades, and he's playing. I'm like, yeah, must be able to move it all right. Like, got to be a decent player. Okay, that's good context.
And then, so that's down to the pitching wedge. And then I got the 50, 56, and 60 in the SM11s. So,
dude, everybody, like, no matter what, you always get to the wedges. Like, yeah, I got Vokis.
They're so
like,
good.
That's exactly. I played the same ones. They're just great wedges.
Yeah.
So good.
And I was on Cleveland's for a while. And then with the SM10s, I switched to back to Vokey with the SM10s. Liked them so much. So stuck with the SM11s this year. And then I got the 2014 or 2016, whatever model it was of the TaylorMade Spider. It's the blackout one that DJ used to win that. I think he won the US Open with it back in one of those years.
Yeah, I was just looking. He won at Oakmont.
Yeah,
2016.
Yes, yeah, so the US. I think I got it right after that.
Yeah. Really? That's sick. Yeah, so the Dustin. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good bag.
Yeah, I like it. I'm pretty happy with it for this year. Last year, I wasn't so sure about the top end of the bag, and I've only played a couple times so far this year, but I'm really excited for having more options off the tee.
Yeah, well, now it's warmer weather, so you can go play.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Sweet, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on the pod for virtual stuff. Like you said, I mean, it's just website and phone number. That's all over the place. They call and they get to you or somebody on the team and do a virtual fitting anywhere in the U.S. on top of mountains in California.
Yeah, exactly.
In their garage in Minnesota, either or.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks, Jordan.
Awesome, man. Thank you.